Blog Talk Radio.
Such a powerful emotion, but what happens when our love becomes consumed and distorted in a toxic relationship? What can we do about it? Stay tuned. Welcome to my radio show. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, healing through love mentor, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me book series, the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and the life-transforming love lessons for your soul, a beautiful six-week course. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. And in every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who keep proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond. Sarah K. Ramsey, a toxic relationship specialist, life coach, and peace master, helps women extricate themselves from toxic relationships. She helps them to clear their minds of that familiar cycle of pain and confusion, to develop clarity and excellence and renewed energy to pursue rewarding work, and finally find really loving and satisfying relationships. Most hosts of the Successful Toxic Person Proof podcast and a featured speaker at numerous conferences and summits, she's hosting a new Toxic Person Proof Summit, and I'm delighted to be one of the speakers on that. So I'm excited to be speaking with you today, Sarah Ramsey.
Hello. Yeah, Toxic Person Proof Podcast. That's quite the tongue twister, right?
Right. I couldn't get the words out.
Toxic Person Proof. Yeah, it's funny. And it's so needed, right? So needed.
And I realized, just as you said that, I realized when you're in a toxic relationship, you get tongue-tied like that. You can't say what
That's
you want
right.
to say. That's funny.
That is right. Yeah. They steal your voice. And all of a sudden their voice in your head becomes bigger than your voice in your head.
Wow, that is powerful. So before we go into that aspect, I'd love you to tell us about your background, education, work, training. What led you, or maybe your relationship experiences, what led you to become an expert in this area, helping people to overcome toxic relationships?
Well, obviously, not only have I had a long history of people-pleasing within my own life, which led me to get into my own toxic relationships, I worked at a school where a cheerleader was shot in the head. She was in her bed asleep.
Wow.
And through her window, he shot her in her bed. And it was obviously a huge, devastating piece within the community. You know, the perfect guy, the perfect girl, the most horrific situation. And I started a mental health campaign at that school that received national attention and started helping teens figure out healthy relationships with themselves and others. And I recognized that teenagers needed their mamas back. And there was no greater gift I could give They needed their mom back. Yeah.
Wow.
And if a mom has been in a toxic relationship, that the best way I could help teens is by giving them back their mothers.
Wow. So how do you give someone back their mother if their mother is abusive or distant or not alive anymore?
So the work I do consists in three components. First, reconnect with what's right with you. After a toxic relationship, you've been told what's wrong with you, that you're messed up, that you're broken, that you're stupid. And then so much of the healing process is about being broken as well. You're codependent, you're a doormat, you have bad boundaries, you have daddy issues, you had a turbulent childhood, so now you've created a turbulent relationship. Okay?
Yeah.
So can mothers lead their children with their own brokenness? They need to be reconnected with their strengths.
Wow. We all need
that, don't we?
We
all need that. And so I lead with something called strength-based healing. Okay?
Beautiful.
So within strength-based healing, you actually like yourself again. And I think people get nervous about that because they think for some reason that I'm not, it's just, you know, well, but something was wrong and you need to fix it. And it's like, yes, but I want you to imagine you're about to run the Olympic race, run an Olympic race, okay? And there's two versions of you. One has got the devil on his shoulder saying you're codependent, you're broken, you have trust issues, you have abandonment issues, you have a wounded inner child, okay? And then the other version of you has your champion. Gosh, do you remember when you overcame this? Do you remember when you became good at this? Do you remember when you were successful in this? Which version of you is going to have more strength to run the race?
That's a beautiful metaphor.
So it's not that I'm like talking people out of running. They are doing their own work. But they're doing the inner work from their best pieces, not their most broken pieces.
You know, I see this so often with couples that they can have a pretty nice partner, not really an abusive, difficult person, but that person is blaming them all the time. You always interrupt or you always don't take into consideration my needs. So the person feels so bad about themselves that they just are so deficient, and yet there's so many qualities that they have that are wonderful. And that their partner really does appreciate. It's just they have to stand up for themselves. I see that so much.
And standing up for yourself knows who you are standing up for, right? Like what pieces of you are worth it? What pieces of you are strong? And it's much more specific than just kind of generalized, I am great, I am wonderful, you know, kind of affirmations, you know, or, you know, there's that human essence that we're all human, so we're all deserving of good things.
No,
right?
Like when I'm working with someone, I can see what's beautiful about them.
Yes.
Like the person is organized, or they're caring, or they're a people pleaser. So they may do something without asking, should I do this or did you want it? But it came from a place of trying to care. They weren't coming from a bad place. And when they understand their own way of thinking, I love the way you're putting it into words, though. Beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. I worked very hard at that. I appreciate that compliment and fully accept it because I know the work I did to make it, because we're so used to our healing journeys being about our brokenness and what's wrong with us. That's common.
Well, now I have, absolutely. So I have an important question to ask.
Sure.
How does someone know that they're in a toxic relationship, and what does that mean? does that mean that I'm toxic? Does it mean the partner is toxic or the combination? What does it really mean?
It can be all three. It can be all three. What I want people to take notice of is who gets to make the rules of the relationship. Okay?
That's important.
It's very important. And in many cases, one partner is getting a much better end of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Their needs, their wants, their desires, their hobbies, their past, their future is much more important than the other person's.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's
so that's how
powerful,
you can tell.
Yeah.
And how you can tell who's telling the truth. You know, man, they both seem really upset. Who was really the problem here in the relationship? Who was the toxic one? Okay. Well, who was getting the better end of the deal?
That's interesting. That's an interesting way of putting it. Can you give some kind of example?
Absolutely. So, let's say there's a guy, okay, and he refuses to work. And he says, you know, you're so selfish that you make me want to work. You know, you should take care of me. Don't you know I have anxiety? Don't you know I'm going through hard things? Don't you know I'm trying? Don't you know I need to save the money I do have? And so if you were a good person and you were, you know, really loving, then you wouldn't ask me to help pay rent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's an example of someone being the victim, what I call the victim mindset. So their life is hard, and they get to set the rules of the relationship that you take care of them. Okay?
Yeah, that's powerful, yeah.
That's the victim. Mm-hmm. Now, people also play the hero, which is, I'm so wonderful, I get to set the rules. You know, it's not Mr. Right, it's Mr. Always Right.
Mm-hmm.
I am the powerful one. I'm the one who has the knowledge. I'm the one who knows things. You should listen to me, and I'll make your life better. We'll both be happy if you do what I say. Again, he's setting the rules. Very different personality, and they can flip interchangeably, which is really confusing because it's like one minute they're bossing me and telling me what to do, and the next minute they're telling me that I should be better, I should be doing different, I should take care of them. Very confusing. But you can see it flip back and forth. And the common thread is one partner is making the rules, setting the tone, setting the standard, and getting a better end of the deal. And the other partner is supposed to be doing all the work.
Mm-hmm. But what if they seem to be doing some of the work? They do a little bit of it. They go for counseling.
Going for counseling is not doing the work. Implementing what they are learning in counseling is doing the work. I give zero credit for going to counseling. That is big fat talk. And many times people, you're about to leave. Oh, okay, now we should go talk to someone. Okay? So I give zero credit for talking to someone. I will give you credit for being less selfish. I will give you credit for actually implementing things. I will give you credit for actually making changes. And it's so funny because people say, well, how do you know if someone's really changed? And I say, their actions change. It is really that simple. We make it complicated in our head. Well, are they changing? Yes or no?
That's really true. When you see them do something different and you're surprised by it. So tell us about your podcast. When did it start and how is it going?
Woo, it is going really well. I'm an off the charts extrovert, as you probably know, Erica. You've met me enough to know
yes.
Now. Every personality test I take, it's like in the 100% extrovert category. I mean, it's just like shockingly as high as I can get. I took another one this week, same score, 100%. And I was having so much anxiety when the quarantine started. I missed being able to strike up conversations with people at the grocery store. I missed meeting new people. I missed those connections and ideas and learning. And I had had a friend who's a social media strategist for years who had said, "Sarah, why don't you have a podcast? You have so much personality. You have so much, you know, you should do a podcast." And I was like, gosh, that seems like a lot of work. And it is. I have a team of three people who make that podcast happen. It's not just me. And
right.
But I started that to kind of curb my social anxiety of not being able to be social. And it has blown up. It is one of the top-ranked podcasts on Apple iTunes, on Listen Notes. It's one of the top 5% podcasts globally. It has just – it keeps getting bigger and better. And I was grateful to have you on there. I'm excited to have your podcast come out. And it's just been amazing, all the people I've been able to connect with. And one thing I did not expect – go ahead.
I was just going to say that it's obvious that a lot of people are struggling with toxic relationships, and it's coming out more with COVID and with this isolation and being home with their children and the family's home without the usual outlets that everybody has. They may be living
right.
in a toxic relationship, but they could go to the movies and meet their friends and
right.
go shopping and whatever, and now it's restricted.
Toxic, he's lovely. And, you know, we went from him traveling 4 days a week. He had 75% travel. He would be in London and everything else. And we went from that to both of us working from home for the last year. That's quite the change in dynamic, right? That's a huge shift.
And that's
you're
just,
really happy.
Right. It's just you're in each other's face in a way that you weren't before. So whatever the problem is exaggerated.
That's true. Yes, that's it. And one of the things that I think is a basis for a healthy relationship is not to expect my husband to be all the things for me, right? That I feel like that's
wow.
a very unfair expectation to make him all the things. Well, my friends, I had this whole community, this whole network that helped me meet my extroversion needs and conversational needs and idea needs. And that went away. It was gone. And he became all the things.
Right.
Which is super unfair for him. He's so nice and kind. You know, but it's not fair to make him all the things. And I became all the
wow.
things for him. He used to travel and go network and go meet all these people and, you know, eat these fancy business dinners. And all of a sudden he was home for dinner. And I was like, what is happening? You know.
And also
but,
someone described going out to dinner with anyone as like Disney World for adults.
Exactly.
And we're not going out to dinners. We're sitting home. And it can get very boring, even if pretty well. It's nice
well,
exactly. to be
served. And it is nice and nice to treat yourself and, you know, and coping strategies and meet a friend and talk over something so that I was already processed by the time I got home to my husband. And so he and I could just talk about the light stuff because I already processed with my best friend over coffee. You know, we lost all that.
Right.
So the podcast was my coping strategy, my hopefully healthy coping strategy, where I got to meet people like you and have conversations and have that. My husband doesn't want to talk about relationships all the time, especially not toxic relationships. You know, so it allowed me to meet people like you and have these conversations so I could just save the sweet stuff for him, right, and talk about maybe not as deep.
Well, I have found that speaking on summits and creating my own summits during this time, plus my radio show, keeps me sane because I'm connecting
yeah.
with such beautiful people. You know, we
oh,
see so much
exactly.
craziness in the world.
Yes.
Logical, thinking people who care. care mm-hmm. about others.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
Well,
okay,
and it,
so another. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, in healthy relationships, that's what it should feel like. You know, it should feel like a safe space. It shouldn't feel like your partner is always changing the rules on you, or your parent, or your sister, or your coworker. They shouldn't get to change all the rules, and you become the puppet, just trying to figure out what will make them happy that day.
But that's where you started out by saying you're a people pleaser. When you're a people pleaser, you may please too much at your own expense.
And I think about there's a difference in being nice and being kind. Nice gets to change depending on who I'm with. But I can mm-hmm. be kind, and that's knowing who I am and acting from an internal integrity rather than trying to make sure you're not mad at me, like a puppet. That's not integrity. Being everybody's puppet? There's nothing. That's not acting in integrity. That's acting in fear. Fear you're going to be mad at me.
So I have another question. How much in a toxic relationship has to do with the way you are giving in to the other person and pleasing them and not standing up, taking a stand for yourself?
Ooh, my favorite question. Okay, I want you to imagine the three little pigs. One little pig had straw boundaries. One little pig had stick
yeah.
boundaries. One little pig had really strong brick boundaries. They had done all the emotional work. He was standing up for himself. Not one of those pigs changed the big bad wolf. Better boundaries do not make better wolves. And I'm sick of the healing community victim blaming, right? And because that's what we hear. Well, she should have stood up for herself. He should have stood up for himself. If someone has a personality disorder or they have a lifetime of selfishness and toxicity, your better boundaries are not going to change them. You being more sexy, more forgiving, more religious, more faithful, more whatever is not going to change their personality.
But what it can do is help you to recognize how much is them and how much is you. And then maybe choose to leave it.
Absolutely, those bricks protected the pig. The bricks protected the pig. They didn't change the wolf. So boundaries
right.
are absolutely crucial. I'm not saying don't have boundaries. I'm saying know the purpose of them. And stop blaming other people when they get treated badly.
So what do people, I think you're answering it, but I'm just going to ask it anyway. What do people misunderstand or get wrong about toxic relationships?
They say you teach people how to treat you, which is true, but toxic people are manipulators. Remember when we all used to think Bill Cosby was America's sweetheart?
Yeah.
Before we found out he's been raping women? We have all
yeah.
been fooled by toxic people. And when you are talking about someone being fooled by a romantic partner, we put it in this other category of they were stupid, they were broken, this is their fault, they should have seen it, they missed it, they're weak.
Mm-hmm.
And we completely don't recognize the times we have been manipulated. And we don't say toxic people are good manipulators. We say victims of toxic relationships should have known that.
Because if you have not been in that type of relationship yourself, it's really hard to understand it. Because
mm-hmm.
if you, and so many coaches that I've seen have been like that, they may have gotten out of some relationship, they find a perfect partner, they're real happy, a loving person, and then they think they have all the wisdom. But
yeah.
they really don't understand why someone would stay. So what does it take? Why do they get stuck in one of these relationships and how do they get out?
I think you get stuck in it because what I call smart girl or smart guy syndrome, which is you never met a problem you couldn't fix with enough elbow grease and creative energy. So you think you just need to work harder and eventually you will make them happy.
Wow.
You don't recognize that the rules keep changing because they want to see you keep working.
That's amazing.
So
I'm just thinking as you're saying that of people I've known, you know. Go on.
And that is such a gift. I mean, that is one of my life goals, is to change that conversation. Because can you imagine how many more people are going to get out of relationships if, as a society, we say, whoa, there's toxic people, and they manipulate people, and you can have your kindness and your strength used against you. You're not stupid or broken. You think you needed to work harder. But you just, you know, don't try to change the wolf. Find another pig.
Yeah.
What a gift. How will society change if there's not this broken shame attached with a romantic, getting manipulated in a romantic situation?
And if somehow those people kept getting rejected, maybe they would work on themselves and start to change. But it has always worked for them.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to keep winning because they're good at manipulating.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And society protects them. There's a lot of, well, you're stupid, broken, codependent, whatever, associated with when you leave. Well, if you've been better communicated.
But it's also what the toxic person says about you.
Mm-hmm.
They're not only toxic to you in the relationship. When you break up, they make up lies and they say things and distort it. So to other people, you look like whatever they're saying, and they look like the good guy.
Which is why I want to bring it back to who is getting the better end of the deal. You don't hear me use the word, the A word. I have not used the word abuse one time in this conversation. Because when it's like abuse, we have this like category in our head. But when I say one person is setting the rules of the relationship and the other person is doing all the work, that changes the conversation. There's hope in that. There's understanding in that.
Yeah, because abuse can be a lot of things. It can be that manipulation. Mm-hmm. It may not be so obvious. They're not physically beating you up, not physically threatening you. They seem nice. You know, so that's where it can be very confusing.
Absolutely.
I guess you have to go by how do I feel and how free am I to express whatever I need to do.
And I love the word free. That is a how do I feel like my relationship is a prison? That's a toxic relationship.
That's interesting. I just saw this movie. What's it called? I can't remember the name of it. All about the villages in Florida where all these people come, these older people, and they think they're going to have this great life. And there was a guy living in a van who needed a woman because he's broke and he had a DUI from California. Anyway, he needed to live with someone. So he finds a woman there that takes him in, and then he starts feeling restricted. And he was saying, which is better, freedom or comfort? And he wasn't feeling free. And she was loving. She wasn't a bad person, but she was setting boundaries. You know, we're eating at this time, we're doing this. And he went for his freedom in the end, even though he didn't have money. So that was interesting what you just said. The word freedom is powerful.
And that might be a situation. He certainly sounds toxic. Maybe she was controlling too, but.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
If
she was controlling to some extent. Yes.
Yeah.
Even
and
though she was giving him something.
Well, and he did not bring a lot to the relationship. He was using her. Right, he didn't bring anything to the relationship. He was using her. If you're a 60-year-old man, fixer upper, there is a real problem. If you are a 40-year-old fixer upper, there is a real problem. Our brains stop growing, as you know, at 25. Our prefrontal lobes are formed. Our personalities are formed. So us thinking, I'm gonna. With my love, I'm going to change this person's personality. my husband cannot love me so much I'm no longer extroverted. That's not a thing.
Right. And in that relationship with that man in the van, she also was using him because she wanted to have a man, you know, and she just was paying for things, and that doesn't really feel good for a man
to contribute. Multi-dysfunctional, you know, and my book, Becoming Toxic Person Proof, is coming out February 14th. And,
You
know, they probably both had a lot of lies they were telling themselves, right? She was saying, you know, I won't have to be alone. And he was saying, I mean, I'm thinking, what in the world was he thinking? She was going to pay for him, but there weren't going to be any standards. She was just going to pay for him, let him do whatever he wanted. Like, what?
Right. There's a lot of people that do that.
Yeah.
Oh, what a crazy world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
the
next question is, a lot of craziness in the world. So how do people heal from a toxic relationship? They got into it. Maybe they got out of it. How do we heal?
Oh, you don't even have to heal, Erica. You just find another guy or find another girl. But don't worry about all that healing stuff. I just find another relationship and move on, right? That's what people think. There's this cycle, right? And nobody says it out loud, but that's what people think. Like, I found the wrong person, and when I find the right person, all this will work out. But what you miss is that you have been trained to do the work of the relationship. And if you do not undo that training, You're set up for another toxic relationship. And it's fascinating that people pleasers, recovering people pleasers, right here, we are committed to relationships and want people to be committed to us, but we are not committed to ourselves.
That is powerful. That's the key.
If you are not committed to you, and you think you're going to find some guy committed to you, you just need to buy lotto tickets and play Russian roulette or whatever. Yeah, I mean, what? Russian roulette. I think that's that shooting game. I didn't mean that. But, you know, whatever it is, like in Vegas, right? Your odds are better in Vegas than trying to find someone to commit to you without you committing to yourself.
Absolutely. Well, what you just said really is another key, that you're committed to doing the work in a relationship. That means, to me, only going to be attracted to someone that requires you to do the work. So they're
you're
not
committed to doing
available.
The work. Well, yeah, you're committed to doing the work, but you're committed to doing your work, not what I see so many people do. They become helpaholics. Okay? So I want to solve everybody's problems except for my own.
Well, there's another side to it.
I want to find some guide. Yeah.
The other side is that it feels good in a certain way, like the victim payoff. It feels good that this person has the problem and I'm the powerful one that can help him or her. You know, I'm the one who can do the healing and I'm the better person, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't work.
Which sounds like what the van situation, right? You know, she brought him in to fix him, and she was the one with all the power.
Right.
Right? Rather than solving her own problems, which is finding a healthier partner, you know, there's nothing healthy
someone
about.
Someone who matches you.
Yeah.
Someone who's
and
earned
shared
money and
power.
Has a home. Yeah, shared power.
Shared power. In a healthy relationship, there is shared power. In a toxic relationship, one person holds all the power, or they're fighting over the power through equal dysfunction.
Very interesting take that you have on this. It's very powerful. I'm so excited to be speaking to you today about this. So, I have two more questions. One of them is, what does it mean to design a life that you're really excited about after ending a toxic relationship?
So, yeah, we were talking about what process people go through. So in my program, the Wondrous Woman program, they reconnect with what's right with them, connect with their strengths, right? We talked about that at the beginning of this interview. Then they become toxic person proof, which is not only recognizing red flags, but recognizing how people talk you out of the flag being red.
Wow.
Okay. That's
wow. That's
right. There's a guy living in his van. Do you think this is a red flag? Yes or no? Yes. But
absolutely.
Now you're emotionally connected. Oh, it's no longer a red flag anymore. You know, he's falling on hard times. Whatever it is. Like, at that point, it becomes an excuse. So why we talk ourselves out of red flags, you know, strengthening that commitment to ourselves. And then you get to design a life you are excited about living. And, you know, I always joke that if you're going into dating, neediness isn't sexy. A desperate energy isn't sexy. It's not, you know, operating as a parent from a place of desperate neediness is not healthy. Okay? But when you have a life you're excited about living and you feel on purpose and you feel connected with the world and committed to yourself, good things happen.
That's really so true. Amazing. So with that, I'd love you to tell us what to expect on this Toxic Person Proof Summit.
Woo! All the things on the Toxic Person Proof Summit. So when I was going through these podcast interviews and speaking to other experts like yourself, I did a video recording and an audio recording. Audio is going to go on the podcast, but I did these video recordings too, and wanted to create this summit. Everything from child-centered parenting to divorce. I have several divorce lawyers on there, dating coaches, numerous dating coaches, love experts, healing your body after trauma, knowing if you should stay or you should go, defining exactly what emotional abuse, verbal abuse, toxic relationships are. It's all in there. There's like 50 people. So it's all in there. Free summit. It was my gift back to the world this year. And the speakers, right, have all volunteered to do this and give back to the world this year. It is coinciding with my Becoming Toxic Person Proof book. So I do hope you guys check that out as well. It's released February 14th, and the summit is February 11th through the 14th, or through the 15th. Yeah, well, I went all the way through Valentine's Day, just in case people were lonely on Valentine's Day.
That is really something. I know how needed this is. And toxic relationships are not only your intimate relationship. It can be work partners. It can be anyone. But it's
and there's conversation
mostly
focused. Yeah, even in my book, I call it a toxic person encounter because I really do feel like, oh, if I have a toxic situation at work, I'm still good. But if you have a toxic relationship at home, you're bad. That really prevents the healing and help the world needs because the toxic person manipulating his wife is also manipulating his boss. But we call her stupid.
Oh, boy. So it's amazing. I mean, you have such a gift to offer the world. That's why I love interviewing you so I know who you are, and it gives so much more credibility to why you're doing this summit. You have so much background and knowledge, and I'm excited about your book. I know
Thank
it's going to do
you.
Really well. People
well, my
need
beta
this
readers
book.
Sure think so. Yeah, my beta readers should think so. And it really is that disconnect. After a toxic relationship, there's kind of a obsessive study of red flags and narcissism and toxic personalities, but we have to turn or codependency. And it's like, where can we tap into that strength-based healing and heal from our souls and our happiness and our strength rather than just trying to heal from brokenness? Or focus all about studying personality disorders. It's obsessive obsession over narcissism. It's like, is that your dream when you design a life you're excited about living? Is that your life goal, is to know everything there is to know about covert narcissists? Is that your new life goal?
Funny. Wow.
Right? And people go, oh, yeah. I guess not, you know? I said, well, if I saw your calendar, what would I say your goal was? And they're like, oh, no. You know, if I saw your search history, what would I say?
It would be to find love and smile, walk out into the sunset holding hands and laughing and playing mm-hmm. together, you know, enjoying each other's company. It's so simple and for so many of us so difficult to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And so thank you so much. Just tell us the link. The link is on the page, but just tell us the name of the summit, you know, the URL for it.
Yeah, it's the Toxic Person Proof Summit 2021. And if you Google Toxic Person Proof, I'm the only thing that's going to come up. I've trademarked that and created it and everything else. So you'll definitely be able to find information on the Toxic Person Proof Summit. And you can also email me, Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, at Sarah K. Ramsey, RAMSEY.com.
Sarah, you are a gift to so many people. They're starving for this information because they've received misinformation about
mm-hmm.
toxic relationships. And this is really like a breath of fresh air. A lot of people will benefit. I'm really
thank
excited
you so much.
And I'm extra happy that I'm on this summit. So thank
yeah,
you for speaking with me today.
Yes, thank you.
And to those of you listening, I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, drericagoodstone.fly, for a complimentary Healing Through Love Summit. I work on love and talk about that, but the other side of it is you get in these toxic relationships and you really do need to know how to heal. And you can heal through love, but of course it always starts with loving yourself. So bye for now.